Welcome to the City of Refuge podcast, where our mission is to equip a diverse community of Christ followers to make him known.
Well, good morning, Church, City of Refuge, whether you are watching at home or here in the sanctuary this morning. It's so good to be with you all. Happy New Year, 2021. I'm sure most of us are thankful that 2020 is behind us, but as we enter into this new year, we actually felt very strongly that we needed to enter a new year from a place of rest. Entering this new year from a place of rest. And so for the next couple weeks, you'll be hearing us talk about what it means to be called to rest. A call to rest is the title of our current sermon series. And today we're going to be focusing a little bit on what it means to be called to rest as we see it in creation. What is it about rest that God puts in creation? And over the next couple weeks, we'll talk about how we fall from that place of rest, how Christ kind of restores us back to a place of rest, and the things that Christ calls us as he redeems us to do to restore our world to a place of rest. Now, it seems like a very odd place to start, right? To start with this place where there's a lot of work for us to do. There's a lot of work for us to do as a church. I mean, we're a church that is seeking a new pastor. We're a church that is looking to do a lot of work around restoration in our world through promoting unity and love in the midst of our diversity. We're a church that wants to be involved in missions in our neighborhoods and around the world, even in the midst of a global pandemic. So why are we starting with a place of rest? Well, I'm glad you asked. We are entering into this place because we believe that rest is where we actually do our best work. When we start to do our work from a place of rest, that is where God does his best work. And allow me to give you an example that you might understand. So both for everyone at home, people here, but also for the kids who are watching at home, let me tell you a little bit about one of my biggest examples about what it means to work from a place of rest. You see, I have a confession. On more than one occasion on a Sunday afternoon, I have pulled into the parking lot of a Chick-fil-A. Now, most of you know where this is going already. As I pull into the parking lot of that Chick-fil-A, my taste buds are watering and I'm ready for that spicy chicken deluxe sandwich to get it with those waffle fries. But you see what happens when you pull into a Chick-fil-A on a Sunday afternoon. They're closed. Chick-fil-A, like they do every single Sunday, are not open on Sundays. And as the disappointment starts to set into my mind, as I see that on this Sunday afternoon, I'm not going to have a Chick-fil-A sandwich, something else starts to creep in as well. I start to see that, you know what? Chick-fil-A teaches me a very important principle about working from a place of rest. You see, Chick-fil-A are so satisfied with their work. Chick-fil-A are so satisfied with the customers that they have, the employees that they have, that they forego millions of dollars working on a Sunday because they understand a simple principle that as human beings, we are created to work from a place of rest, from a place where we seek to prioritize our health and our healing and our well-being, and then go out and work from that place. But you see, Chick-fil-A also trusts that come Monday morning, they have the loyalty of their customers. And I challenge you to try it out, you know? See if people decide that, you know what, because Chick-fil-A wasn't open on Sunday, they're taking their business elsewhere. Many, many days I have gone back on Monday morning or Saturday afternoon to say, okay, I'm back, Chick-fil-A. I know you're not open on Sundays and it's a disappointment, but there's loyalty that comes from knowing that there's good work that is done from a place of rest. When we start the work that God has given us from a place of rest, it is fulfilling. When we start from a place of rest, It is satisfying. When we start from a place of rest, it is refreshing. And the work that God calls us to do doesn't feel like a chore or a bore, but it really starts to feel like something that we're doing because God has empowered us and called us to work from that place. So let's go to Scripture and actually see what God calls us to do. We start at the beginning in Genesis chapter 1 from verse 31 through chapter 2 verse 3. And I'll read those words. It says, "And God saw everything that he had made. And behold, it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all of the work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from his work, from all his work that he had done in creation." This is God's word to us, to rest. And that word rest that is used in Scripture is the Hebrew word Shabbat. And that word simply means to cease, to stop, to desist, and to celebrate from the work that you are doing. Now, why does God rest? Surely we know that God is a God who is all powerful. In fact, Scripture tells us that God does not grow weary, and God does not grow tired. So why is it that God rests? Well, you see, God has been in the work of creating. Everything in the world was empty, and out of that emptiness, God brings fullness into creation. He fills the void with many good things. Darkness is filled with light. Emptiness is filled with teeming waters that bring fish, and skies that bring birds, and vegetation that sprouts on the land. That is what God has been doing. He has been filling all of this emptiness with good things. God has also been bringing order to a universe that was very chaotic. The universe was not working the way it was supposed to. There was no order. It was formless. That's what the Scriptures tell us. But God brings order to this formlessness. He brings form. He brings shape. He brings harmony where there was chaos. So God brings flourishing, God brings beauty, God brings grace to the world that he is creating. And he also gives a function to everybody that he creates, to Adam and Eve, that we have a role of dominion to bring about order in chaos as well, to take care and to steward the things that God has created. That's what God gives as a function to the humans that he creates. But notice this, there are certain rhythms in creation that point us to this idea of what it means to rest. I love what Eugene Peterson says about how we are called to rest. He says, when you look at the passages in there, now let's go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 31. In Genesis 1, verse 31, you see a very curious rhythm in the language that the Hebrews used to describe how their days are shaped. It says, "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was morning, and there was evening." No. It says, "And there was evening, and there was morning on the sixth day." If you read all of Genesis 1 and the creation account, you see that this phrase, "and there was evening, and there was morning," was repeated many times in that passage. There was evening and there was morning. Why does it cast things this way? Now, Eugene Peterson says, "The Hebrew evening and morning sequence conditions us to the rhythms of grace. We go to sleep and God begins his work. We wake into a world that we did not make and into a salvation that we did not earn. We wake into a world we did not make and into a salvation that we did not earn." Evening and morning. So while you and I are asleep, God has already been working. While you and I were asleep, God was already working and creating a day full of his goodness and full of his beauty and glory and grace. And when we wake up, we enter into a place that is already teeming with God's goodness and his grace. God is already at work. And so when you think about the year that was 2020 and you're looking to 2021 and you don't know what is ahead, God invites you to rest because there was evening and there was morning. The God of all creation, the God who creates and says it's good, has already gone ahead of us in 2021. You don't have to worry because the God who makes evening and morning has already been working in the evening of your life so that you can wake up and greet the morning knowing that you are in solid hands. Do not be afraid because you can rest in the knowledge and assurance that God has you covered. There was evening and there was morning. God gives humanity a call in creation. But notice that when God asks us to be fruitful and when God asks us to multiply, God does not immediately task us with doing those things. Now, it's a very, very subtle way of presenting that rest. But if you read in that passage, you see that after God creates all of the universe, he creates light from darkness. He separates the heavens from the earth. He separates waters from the land. He causes vegetation to sprout. God causes all these different stars and moon and planets to form in the sky. And God also forms all the creatures in the sea and everything that moves along the dry ground. And he forms human beings. What's the next thing that God does on the seventh day? God rests. He rests. But not only does God rest, God also calls all of creation into that rest. Before we go out and we work, God first calls us into this holy, set apart, sacred place of rest. God rested, it says, on the seventh day. Now, God rested on the seventh day not because he needed to rest. The God of all creation does not get tired or weary from his creation. But the God of all creation knows something about his creation. That the best way that his creation flourishes, the best way that his creation truly multiplies, the best way that human beings actually have dominion and rule and reign with justice and equity over all of creation is not when we go out and start working immediately. But it's when we actually abide and dwell in his sacred rest. I've heard it said before that as human beings, God has created us so that we work from a place of rest and not just rest from our places of work. We work from a place of rest. The first thing that we do, according to Scripture, is that in creation, we actually first rest in God. We Sabbath, we cease, we desist, we do not do the work. We abide in who God is. God invites us into fellowship with him. God invites us into covenant relationship with him. And it's from this place that we can actually go out and tend the earth. Take care of the animals, name them, take care of the trees and the water and the forest, build and have dominion over all things. We start from that place of rest. God invites us, church, to be people who trust him enough to say, God, I'm starting by resting in you. I'm not going to go out and just work and work and work tirelessly. I need to start by first resting in you. So why do we rest? Why is it that God makes this very important thing, this thing that he says, I want you to work the earth, but first, let's enter into this seventh day together. Let's Sabbath together. Let's cease from the work together. And then on the following day, we can start entering into this place of rest. Well, let's go to Exodus chapter 20. to see if we can find some answers there. Exodus chapter 20, we'll go from verse 8 through verse 11. And here's what it says. It says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall do no work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So why should we rest? Well, there are 4 reasons I'd like to give for why we should rest. And the first one is very simple. God commands it. The God of all creation, the God who makes us in his image. If you and I are image bearers of God, then God commands us and says, follow my example. See the way that I created the world and still at the end of all things entered into a big rest. God commands us to rest. Now, if you know anything about God's commandments are not there to kill our joy. God's commandments are there so that we can enter into a place of loving obedience that actually helps us to live the way we are actually meant to live. So God commands us. That's the first reason why we should actually adopt this way of working, starting with rest. God commands it. The second one is because resting is a good way for us to actually be good stewards of the time that God has given us on this earth. When we rest, we're actually good stewards of the time that God gives us on this earth. And what does it mean to be a steward? It simply means to be a caretaker. We are people who care for the earth. And so when we rest, I love how Exodus kind of puts it. Resting and Sabbath are not just about our own personal health. Resting and Sabbath actually have benefits for all of creation. See what it says in Exodus. Look at all the people who benefit. It says in Exodus chapter 20, verse 10. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall do no work. But it doesn't just stop with us. It says, or your son, or your daughter, your male servant, or your female servant, or your livestock, or the foreigner who is within your gates. Look at the effects that resting has, not just on us, but on the people around us, on the world that God has created. God tells us that when we rest, the benefits of our rest do not just stop with us, but actually extend to all of creation, to the world around us, to our family members, to everybody that is within distance of us. When you rest, I rest as well. When you rest, God gives creation and everything in all of creation a chance to breathe and a chance to rest as well. So we rest because we are good stewards of what God has given us. But we also know that it has effects on everything in the world around us. So enter into God's rest and see the world around you. See the people around you also enter into that rest as well. The next reason why we rest is because rest is the starting point of all we do and of who we are. We work from that place. We work because God has already accepted us, not because we're trying to get God's acceptance. We work from a place where we have rested fully in God because we know that that is the place where we're able to create in the same way that our God does and have dominion in a way that actually brings out the best in other people and the best in the world around us and doesn't crush them under the weight of our rule. So fulfillment and rest are this place where we start from the starting point of what we do. And of course, the last thing is, as we've already mentioned, what we call the Chick-fil-A principle. Be utterly satisfied enough with your work. So do good work. God is not calling us to be lazy here. Do good work and know that you can utterly be satisfied with the work that you have done in a way where you are willing to kind of let it rest for a while so that you can pick it up another day. Tim Keller talks about it this way. He says, another reason to rest is that you are utterly satisfied with your work, that you are willing to leave it. So there's this constant rhythm of work and rest that God gives us in creation. A call to us to enter into places where we work diligently and we work hard. But God's call to us is equally as strong on the other side. That just as hard as we're working, we must also be resting hard as well. Can you be totally satisfied with the work that you are doing, that you are willing to leave it? Create spaces in your life where you can leave that work for an entire day. You can leave that work and just kind of go and abide in Jesus Christ and rest in Christ, knowing that that work will still be there for you the next day. And that actually when you rest, you're actually going to enter into that place and pick up that work in a better position than if you just keep going and keep working. Rest because you are utterly satisfied with the work that you have done. You're willing to leave it to rest for a bit. Just like God created the world in 6 days and on the seventh day rested. So church, as we enter into this season, into this new year, where God has called us as a church to focus on unity in the midst of diversity, to be a loving community that really works hard to see the divisions that are ripping the world apart not happen within the church, to be salt and light that tends to the wounds that we see in creation, to be people who seek unity when there's division in our world. God says to us, start from a place of rest. Rest in Jesus Christ. Rest in what God has done for you on the cross. Rest in the blessings that God gives you through your family and your friends. Rest in the knowledge that God will never leave you or forsake you. And after you have rested in that place, then you can go out and do the work that God has called you to do, knowing that you will be more fulfilled and more effective in that work when you have rested in who God is and what God has called you to do. So guys, rest in Jesus Christ. That is God's calling to us as we start this year. Rest. Now you'll be seeing that happening practically in many, many different ways at our church. We're encouraging a lot of the ministries here at the church to really think about January as a season of rest. Now, every ministry is going to look different. There are things that we need to be doing to kind of keep the ministry and the work going. But we want us to rest and start from that place of rest. What does it look like for you to enter into a season of deep abiding and rest in Jesus Christ? For us as a preaching team, you'll see that our regular rotation of preachers will not be up here in the month of January because there's rest that we are taking. And we're trying to make sure that everybody gets some time to rest. So what does it look like for you to enter into the rest that Christ brings? Well, through Jesus Christ, you can enter into this rest. Because rest is not about what we as humans can do. Rest is about what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross of Calvary. Rest is a gift of grace that is created by God for us as human beings. So in creation, we see a story that invites us to enter into God's rest as we work to restore wholeness and shalom and flourishing to the world around us. God's rest is our starting point. God's rest is the place from which we do our work. We work from a place of rest. We do not rest from our places of work. And know that in Jesus Christ, our entire world will find its rest, because he is the creator, the word that was there at the beginning that spoke this world into existence. In Jesus Christ, you and I can find our perfect rest. So, church, I pray that you would enter into God's eternal rest. And like the God of all creation, who did not need to rest from his work, but intentionally chose to, that you will enter into a place of rest, knowing that your work will be better, your life will be better, your health and the health of people around you will be better when you first abide in Jesus Christ. Because apart from him, truly, we can do nothing. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, I bring you this message. Let's pray together. God, we abide and we rest in you. Thank you for giving us an example of the balance between work and rest, for reminding us that when we rest, it's not just about our well-being, but the well-being and shalom and harmony of the people around us and the world that you have created. God, rest our minds and our bodies and our souls from the busy, chaotic, but still God-ordained year that we had last year. May we reflect and see that you are a God who was still active and at work. And may we rest knowing that you are a God who will still be active and at work in 2021. You have gone before us, O God. And because you go before us, we can start this year from a place of confident, hopeful, and gracious rest. In Jesus' name, amen.